Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Blake Topmeyer's the SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast, SEC Unfiltered, available each and every week. Kind enough to join us as I assume you're heading to Atlanta, correct?
Yes, I am. Just pulled into a lovely courtyard here in Atlanta.
Oh, a journalist with Marriott points, huh? That's new.
Hey, listen, listen. Don't hate. Courtyards are great.
When I was corporate, I was a Hilton guy.
I don't like Hilton's internet setup. I think they're lower. A regular full service Hilton is a nice hotel.
Yeah.
The Hilton lower end brands, which is where journalists traverse.
So you're saying the Hampton, are you saying Hampton Inn or are you talking like Garden Inn?
Garden Inn, I don't like. I don't like Hampton Inn very much.
So, Blake, Mark broke this news to me because I haven't been a road warrior in a while. Courtyard got rid of free breakfast?
Yeah.
Yes, there's no free breakfast in Courtyards. If you want free breakfast, you got to do either Res Inn, Spring Hill Suites. Or Fairfield Inn.
I don't mind Spring. I don't mind. Fairfields are fine too.
So, well, the reason why I started going to Courtyards all the time was because back in the early 2010s, they updated like between 2010 and 2015, every Courtyard got updated. So like by and large, if you stay at a Courtyard, you're staying at a relatively new, updated hotel,
modern. Yeah.
And so that's what made it nice. And yeah, they don't have breakfast, but like. I don't know what you know. Like those free breakfasts are overrated.
I'm
not a huge breakfast guy, but it's like I don't know when it starts feeling like you're taking away perks that used to be there. Remember when they started taking away towels during the pandemic? It's like okay, now you're just getting greedy. Like just stop. Like I don't like it. Like you're already. We know this is a ripoff to begin with. This room is not worth $250. We all accept that. Give me a cookie or something. It's the DoubleTree effect. When they give you the warm cookie, that cookie cannot cost more than 38 cents. It makes you feel better.
It is a nice touch at the DoubleTree. Yeah. I'll give you that. But no, yeah, like a DoubleTree or a Hilton is fine. Like those are nice hotels.
Yeah, it's when you get into
the lower brand Hilton hotels that I don't like very much. And that's again, that is where the journalism budget usually leads you.
Blake, did Auburn give journalists cookies when they were announcing the hiring of Hugh Freeze to make everyone else feel better?
I do not know. I was watching that one from afar, but yeah, I doubt they offered up cookies since they didn't even offer up their athletic director.
Well, and also it seemed like they didn't even offer up the microphone to whoever's in the room. It seemed like that was a very controlled introductory press conference.
Yes, and not very many hard-hitting questions from our friends.
Somebody
in the
media. Started crying, Mark. Really? Like, literally crying. And not Hugh. Well, Hugh cried too, but I mean, duh, that was a free space.
What did you think of the hire? I mean, I read your column, so I imagine you were you weren't as opposed to it as some, but I got the vibe you certainly weren't like a huge like great hire guy on this one.
Yeah, I wasn't as opposed to it as some. I think if you look at it from a purely football sense, it makes a lot of sense. It checks a lot of boxes. I think Hugh's going to win there. I think he's a fit for that program, just in terms of him as a football coach, him as a personality. He's going to recruit his tail off. He's going to hit the transfer portal hard this offseason. I think he's going to change the level of talent in that program in one offseason, frankly. Hugh, as a person, as I wrote in my column, I'm not going to defend Hugh Freeze's character. That's not for me to do. I don't That's for Hugh Freeze and the folks that hired him to do. My thing with Hugh is, I think some people would make Hugh Freeze out to be something or someone that there's no evidence put forward in front of us to support that that's true. I mean, let's look at what's out there in front of us. Hugh was fired at Ole Miss for calling escorts, for his staff flouting NCAA rules, and he served six years.
To be clear, this is what gets left out of the story. He was not fired for any NCAA stuff, and neither was the staff.
Correct.
They stood by them. Like, they doubled down on him.
Yes, it was when the phone call, the pattern of conduct, that, as Ross Bjork quoted, a pattern of misconduct, whatever the direct quote was, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I believe maybe I said he was fired, but he quote, resigned at Ole Miss and walked away there. But, you know,
he resigned in disgrace, leaving six and accepted no buyout money. $0, and he was owed $17 million or something along those lines.
Here's my thing. He was out of the conference for 6 years. I do not think that calling escorts with your university-provided cell phone should equal a lifetime ban from the SEC. There are some people who probably believe that. Now, obviously, there's some other stuff that's come to light the past year, that this direct message to a Liberty alumnus who was a plaintiff in a sexual assault lawsuit against Liberty. Now, mind you, Hugh Freeze was not involved in the lawsuit.
Nor was the football team,
and nor did his messages reference the lawsuit or reference sexual assault. To me, the DM read like what we know about Hugh Freeze. This is someone who has a reputation for being thin-skinned, has a reputation for lacking the self-control not to send a DM like this. And I don't think, to be clear, that this Liberty alumna did anything wrong. She can tweet whatever she wants. She's coming at this as a survivor of sexual assault. She was a plaintiff in the lawsuit. She had a problem in her tweet. She expressed that she had a problem with Liberty employing Hugh Freeze and Ian McCaw. Ian McCaw, of course, the former athletic director at Baylor. I think that's a perfectly.
So far, everything has been a reasonable question.
Yeah. And then Hugh slides into her DMs. He should not be doing that. I think the best thing for him would be if that Sports Illustrated report were true, that he has to surrender control of his Twitter. Now, Hugh refuted that during his introductory press conference. I actually think that would be good for him. And Hugh made that joke, that maybe that would be wise advice. Like, no, don't joke about it. Like, I think that's actually true. You, like, surrender control of your social media. And people can say, like, well, how can you do that in this day and age? Well, Nick Saban doesn't have social media. Dabo Swinney doesn't have a Twitter account. And I realize that those guys are not going to the college football playoff this year. But point being, you can win a lot of games as a football coach. You can be a really good football coach and not have a Twitter account, not have control of your own Twitter account. Like, so, yeah, there are some red flags here. And I'll say Auburn says they did a thoroughly vetted search. and I'll just say I hope that's true, because if ever there was someone who needed to be thoroughly vetted that you're going to hire, I mean, Hugh Freeze would fall into that category, right? I don't go as far as to say, based on the evidence that we know that's in front of us, that you cannot hire Hugh Freeze. I think there are some people I would say that about. Hugh Freeze, based on what we know about him, I don't know that there's enough to say that. However, there is enough to say you better have thoroughly vetted this guy before you offered him the job.
Well, this is the thing that I find fascinating. Like, they can spin it however they want. The reality is they thought they had Lane Kiffin. And
yeah.
Now, was that maybe blind arrogance? And maybe there had been some red flags that should have told them, hey, maybe don't think this is a slam dunk. But they thought they had Lane Kiffin. It seems to me, though, when they lost Lane, they were left scrambling. Because I think it's really easy to say Hugh Freeze is our number two choice when you think you're getting your number one choice. So the question for me is, how comfortable were they really hiring Hugh Freeze? Because you'll get some people that'll tell you, hey, man, here's the reality. They wanted to hire Lane, but if they couldn't get Lane, they were fine doing this. And then there's other people that will tell you, hey, man, they were really scrambling on Saturday. After they leaked the report to Pete Thamel on game day, and they got a bunch of negative feedback. They started scrambling, and they started making other calls. When these calls were not returned, they were left with no choice but turning to freeze. Like, to me, that's a very different set of circumstances. Because on one hand, you're completely comfortable taking, you know, all of the flack that you're going to take, and you just think, by God, it'll be over with when we start winning games. But the other path is, hey, man, maybe Hugh Freeze is not going to, like, when you say he's going to win, my first question is, because I get asked it all the time, like, what do you think? It's like, well, define, what do you think is win at Auburn right now?
In year one or long term?
Let's say, because the question was posed to me, do I think he will make the SEC championship game? My answer is no. I do not. Like, I think this is more of a Auburn problem than it is, like, I think Auburn has a bigger issue, has a bigger identity crisis, I think, than they are willing to accept. I think they think they just got to get the right coach back and it'll get back rolling. I'm not convinced of that.
I do think Auburn has a pretty high ceiling.
I think they did have a high ceiling. I think this day and age is, I think, I don't believe that there's, I think the game has changed so much with NIL money. I think they could compete in the under the table world. I'm not convinced that they're competing at the highest. I think they're still a very good team. I think they're like a top 15, top 20 program, but that's not what they think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have more concerns on that front, though, if you heard people in the industry worrying about their ability to compete on the NIL front, and I've not heard that from folks in the industry. I
think the problem is there's so much lying going on, nobody knows what's real, and so everyone just goes...
Well, that is true. No one really knows how much money is in anybody's collective, right? You can say however much money.
All I feel comfortable saying is I feel pretty good that USC's NIL money is really doing well. A&M's is doing really well.
I also feel pretty good that Memphis's isn't doing that.
Correct.
Great.
I feel pretty good that Vanderbilt's maybe not doing that great, but I feel pretty good about the Vols. You know what I mean? I feel pretty good about Georgia's. Like, but I'm not sure that, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, I understand Brian Harsin, like, it was just a disaster from day one. Like, it was. But my question is, how much of the lack of recruiting success was they did not support him versus he really is a terrible recruiter? The reality is it's somewhere in between, but I'm telling you, I just don't think that they're as beefed up to go and go after it day one as they're being led to believe.
Brian Harsin never created the relationships down there, so we really have no idea whether they'd be able to compete on the recruiting front in this era. Because I think if you're going to come at it right, you got to have the relationships, right? Unless you just have such a ravenous fan base that they're going to pour the money in, a ravenous donor base that they're going to pour the money in regardless of who their coach is, I think you have to have the relationships. I mean, with or without NIL, I think Brian Harsin would have failed at
Agreed.
Auburn. I don't think he built the recruiting relationships there. I don't think he built the relationships with the booster base, with the university. He maybe didn't really ever have a chance to do that, but I also think he didn't really do much to help himself on that front. I mean, take the boosters out of it. You know, Bennett Durando, our former colleague at USA Today Network from the Montgomery Advertiser, he's since moved off the beat, but he did a great report a few months ago in which he talked to so many coaches around the state of Alabama. What's your relationship like with Brian Harsin? And it was pretty much crickets. Like, relationship? What relationship?
Yeah.
You know,
he didn't try to hire staff people. He didn't try to correct it.
Yeah, I don't think Brian Harsin gave himself much of a chance there. I don't think he had much of a chance, but he certainly bears some of this on his shoulders. I do think Hugh's going to form those relationships. Let's see what he does here with a recruiting class or two, and then I think we'll have our answer, right? As we sit here today, if you say, is he going to win an SEC championship? Is he going to get to an SEC championship? That feels like kind of a coin flip to me. I also don't know how patient they are. How many years are they going to
get? Well, that's the other thing about hiring Hugh Freeze. If it doesn't get off to the right start, it's a whole hell of a lot easier to fire him. You know what I mean? Like, you can...
Absolutely. And I wrote that in a column this week. Like, I actually think Hugh is going to fare well there. We can we can debate what the definition of farewell is, but I think if they gave him a leash and they gave him a runway, I think Hugh would fare well as Auburn's coach. That being said, one of the beauties of this deal, moral turpitude aside, is that they got him at a bargain rate. And I know that's kind of like, what are you talking about? They're paying $6.5 million a year. Well, when you consider Missouri is now paying Eli Drinkwitz $6 million a year.
Yeah, he's bottom tier of the conference.
He's coming in at a bargain rate. He won't be that expensive to get rid of. And I know you should never hire a guy based on, well, what's it going to cost to get rid of him if it doesn't work. But I actually do think there's something to be said for either do the LSU thing or the Southern Cal thing, where you're breaking the bank to hire someone that, like, barring something totally unforeseen, they are going to win there because they have proven they are a very, very, very good football coach. Or you buy someone kind of low, hope you hit it big, and if
you're
not,
shopping at the bargain bin, baby.
Yeah, you're rinsing and repeating in three. I mean, that's what they do anyway. You're going to fire him in 3 years if it doesn't work anyway.
No, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I think he's going to get fired. Why? Because Auburn coaches get fired.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get fired because he's going to have back-to-back losing seasons like Brian Harsin did. And if they give him 8 years like they gave Gus Malzahn, I think he will get to an SEC championship. Now, do they give him 8 years? I don't know. It's Auburn. They just fired their last coach after 2 years. So I would lean toward no. But I think given the situation, if you take the morality out of it, and if you just look at this on a football resume, which I realize you can't, but for this debate, let's do that. I think if you covered up the name and you showed the resume, I think you'd say, yeah, Auburn hired a pretty good football coach. You know, a guy who nine out of 10 years as an FBS coach, had winning seasons, went to two New Year's Six Bowls at a program where that is an accomplishment. I think this is on paper football wise, pretty good hire.
Wrapping up here with Blake Topmeyer. He's the SEC columnist for the USA Today Network. You can read his work here in Memphis in the Commercial Appeal. Blake, turning real quick to the game tomorrow, LSU, Georgia, and the SEC championship game. We were asking this or talking about this at the beginning of the show. In a 12-team playoff, would LSU be playing for a spot in the 12-team playoff tomorrow? Have we cleared that up?
I mean, I think they'd be possibly playing for a top-four spot. Because they'd be
top four spot.
Well, yeah, because they'd be a conference champion.
You have to be a That's right. You have to be a conference champion. And so for Georgia, this game in a 12-team playoff for Georgia, this game would mean a heck of a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, this game tomorrow. Now it's a difference between probably like a 1 seed and maybe a 3 seed at worst, I guess, for Georgia.
I think it's the difference between picking Atlanta again and wearing road jerseys in Phoenix.
Right, whereas in a 12-team playoff, if Georgia were to lose this, you're not getting a first-round bye because you're right, it's a good point. Only conference champions can be eligible for the bye. So, yeah, if LSU won this, could they get a bye?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.